Bible.com.
Want me to turn this thing on? I don't know. I didn't hear that. I pressed the button, just not long enough, apparently. Glad you're with us this morning. I do want to say, just because I don't know that it'll be in the announcements or anything, but for those who joined us and those who participated and led things, just thank you for Friday night and our worship night. That was pretty fantastic. So if you were a part of that, thank you. And if you were there, thank you. And it was a great experience. So let's just thank them for putting that all together. So very, very good night. All right. So now to this morning. Sherry and I read a book together. Okay, full disclosure, we started reading a book together and didn't make it very far because it was very clinical and detailed, so we kind of lost momentum. It had charts and graphs and statistics and studies and, light bedtime reading kind of thing. It was by Jonathan Haidt, who is a social psychologist, and the book is called The Anxious Generation. Now, I know that it's a book on anxiety, but there's a connection between the issue of loneliness in our society. Okay, he talks extensively about the link between our mental health issues and these, right, as well as these. Social media things. If you are a Gen Z, right, if you're between 14 and 28 years old right now, you are the first generation to grow up with a portal in your pocket to elsewhere. Right, at any moment, you can leave the physical, embodied, social experience that you're in and go somewhere else instead. Right, Jonathan Haidt reports that since 2010, time spent with friends is down on average 65%. We're spending less time with other people and more alone time on screens. And I saw a decor piece the other day. It said this, I'm having people over to stare at their phones later if you want to come by. Right? Like funny, not funny. Even when we're with one another, we're not fully present. We're thinking about what's going on in there. Technology is affecting everyone to some extent. I was talking with Rob Resnick last week because knowing this topic was coming up, and he mentioned a podcast he heard about people turning to AI relationships. It's called Just Thinking, is the name of the podcast. It was AI and the Gospel. It's like a two-hour podcast. It was good. I'm going to reference it it's referenced in the reference page. That we'll put a link up for later. But just a very brief part of it was this story where they were telling of a 61-year-old man who had lost his wife of 30 years of marriage, which is painful and traumatic. But instead of finding genuine human community that ultimately would source him to his deepest satisfaction, he turned to an artificial substitute, an AI-generated individual, to be the substitute for relationship. He turned to something artificial that could never truly know him, never truly love him, and never truly meet the needs of his soul. It's a desperate attempt to fill a need that he had for companionship. In one recent survey, half of U.S. adults said they feel like no one really knows them well at all. Over half say that. Jonathan Haidt said, I can best convey what's happening to us by using the word rarely used in social sciences, spirituality. Like the phone-based life, he said, produces spiritual degradation. He says, I'm not a religious or spiritual person, but I need to use that language to explain the human experience, he says. We need to get back to a shared sacredness, which I thought was an interesting choice of words. He said, we need to create communal spaces where people will get together, and rather than descend into selfishness and self-interest, that communally we can ascend to think about higher things and lovely things, things that lift the soul and elevate us. He said, we need to have not just a group of friends, not people who just hang out, but a social sacredness where we come together and think about that which lifts the soul. And then he says, you know, like what Christians do with hymns, right? Non-Christian person. And yet he sees this lack of connection that we have as like a spiritual issue. Today our focus is Jesus and loneliness. And so as putting the message together, I thought, you know, it is really easy to point to a lot of different passages that talk about how God is always with us and how we can take comfort no matter what because we're never truly alone. There's a lot of those in Scripture. But I didn't want that to be our focus. I'll just tell you, you're never alone. God is always with you. Go look it up in Scripture. It says it lots. But the focus this morning, I wanted to be on building friendships and connections and helping them grow stronger and deeper. Like how we can work towards having the kind of real and meaningful connections that God intended. So that we're not just talking about how God is with us when we're lonely, but that we're also taking steps to move towards the relationship that he created us for so that we are less and less experiencing loneliness. So would you pray with me as we dive in this morning? Father God, you have incredible designs for us in our life, things that sometimes we understand, sometimes we don't, sometimes we take them for granted. And I just pray as we talk about this topic of loneliness, and more specifically, the opposite of that, building connections in one another's lives. I pray that there would be things that encourage and challenge us to go to a next level, whether that's finding a friend, developing a friendship, or just taking the friendships we have to a deeper place. And I pray that that would be the spirit of today, but that it would be you speaking and leading and guiding in how we move forward. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. A John Delaney quote, we've brought him up before from the book Own Your Past, Change Your Future. We have thousands of friends on the internet and no one to help us move our couch. Right? That's the kind of world we're living in. Some research shows that up to 75% of people don't have anyone who would show up in the middle of a crisis. And that's sad because we need friendships, right? We need a community. We need a gang. We need connection. We need places where we can be vulnerable, and we need other people who can be vulnerable with us. Delaney notes that we were created from relationships. We all were created from a relationship of some kind. I would also add that we are created for relationships, right? We were created for connection. When we look at the story of creation in Genesis 1 and 2, we have this story where God creates everything and on the sixth day creates man, Adam. But he says it's not good for man, Adam, to be alone. So he creates woman, Eve. And Adam says, she is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. There was a connection. There was a connection. God didn't just create Eve, though, for like romantic purposes. God didn't say it's not good for Adam to be single, although that was true too. He said it's not good for Adam to be alone. So God created what is called in Scripture a helper for him. And that word helper, the Hebrew word for helper, implies the woman is an indispensable partner. She provides what the man alone lacks. Okay? Now, I think it's important to say that being a helper in this sense in no way suggests the woman is a servant or is somehow inferior to the man. God himself is described the same way for us. He is our helper. Okay? God created us, though, here for connection. Yes, connection with him, but also connection with one another. We were made for real, meaningful, in-person, give-and-take relationships with people we trust and love. And when we lack that in our lives, we're likely going to struggle. I got to be honest, when we did the survey that many of you filled out and was looking through that and went, oh, I kind of missed this area in the survey, the area of loneliness. I wish I had asked about it, right? But I would guess that the majority of us here today don't really struggle from a deep sense of loneliness all the time. Maybe at times, but probably not all the time. But I think many of us would find ourselves in what I'll just call, find ourselves being what I might call like low-key lonely, right? Like we have some friendships, but they're a bit shallow. They lack the deep, meaningful connections that we were designed for. They might go deep at times, but it's not that often. Proverbs 18:24 says this, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." All right, now again, we often look at this and we kind of think of this in terms of Jesus or God himself, but there is literally a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In terms of depth, we may have friends, but we don't have friends who stick that close. Or we have really great friendships, but they're with people who do not live in close proximity to us, so we don't see them very often, right? They're like these long-distance friendships. They're people we feel really close to, but we don't get to see them much. Like in terms of location, we don't have a friend who sticks closer than a brother, right? Like depth and location are both important. We're like Batman without Robin. We're like Laurel without Hardy. We're like the Lone Ranger without Tonto. Or Snoopy without Charlie. And yes, if you're old enough, you know that's from a song by Jeff Moore. Okay? If you're not, you're going, who's Jeff Moore? All right. Friend like you, right? If we want to put this in biblical terms, we're like a Paul without a Timothy. Or a David without Jonathan. Right? When you look at David and Jonathan and their friendship, just some highlights from it because it would take too long to work through the whole thing, but 1 Samuel 18:1 says, "The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Like that is something, right? Their souls were knit together. David, keep in mind the context here. So David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. God chose him to replace King Saul, but Jonathan was Saul's son. Normally that would be his place. And yet Jonathan pledged his loyalty and his allegiance to David, knowing that meant Jonathan would never become king, even though he was Saul's son. Now, Jonathan's father, Saul, saw David as a threat to his throne and also to the future of the throne. In 1 Samuel 19, verse 1, it says, "And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, 'Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Therefore, be on your guard in the morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. If I learn anything, I will tell you.'" Right? Numerous times Saul tried to kill David. Jonathan, though, stayed true. In chapter 20, verse 32, it says, "Then Jonathan answered Saul, his father, 'Why should David be put to death? What has he done?' But Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him." Right? When he stands up for his friend, his dad tries to kill him. So Jonathan knew his father was pretty determined to put David to death. And Jonathan rose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food on the second day of the month. There was a festival going on, for he was grieved for David because his father had disgraced him. And then Jonathan went to David to warn him. Verse 41. And they kissed one another and wept with one another, David weeping the most. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.'" Right? Now, they kissed one another. It was customary to greet one another with a holy kiss on the cheek. They wept together. Like, they knew the difficulty of this vendetta that Saul had against David and what it would bring to their friendship. Eventually, Jonathan dies in battle along with his father Saul. David wept and mourned them both, but about Jonathan, he said this in 2 Samuel 1, "How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was extraordinary, surpassing the love of women." That's an unusually strong, loving friendship and an unusual way to describe it. Some people will try and twist this to suggest, oh, it was a homosexual relationship. Don't buy that. Like, don't make it weird, right? That's not what's going on here. They had a deep, meaningful friendship that was treasured deeply, deeply by both of them. This is the kind of friendship we're made for. Right? Why we work through all this, this is the kind of friendship we're made for. In Own Your Past, Change Your Future, John Delaney gives a little friendship inventory. I want to ask you a couple of questions about that. If that's the kind of friendship we're made for, let me ask you just a couple of questions. If I asked you to answer out loud right now, could you make a list of 5 people you consider to be your best or closest friends? Think about, how long have you known them? How often do you hang out with or call them? Who would you call at 2 a.m. if you needed someone to come over and watch your kids or get you to the hospital? When's the last time you wept in front of your friends? And what was going on? When's the last time you laughed so hard you almost peed your pants a little bit? And I know those last two questions might seem unimportant, but laughing, crying are often signs of a deep friendship. It means you can feel vulnerable with them, right? You feel safe enough to express your emotions. Do you have friendships like that? Do you have that kind of connection with others in your life? And by the way, connection is not the same as communication, right? They're not the same. The definition of communication is to exchange and share information, feelings, or opinions. You can do that online. You can do that by text message. You can do that with AI. But connection makes a link between two people. It's the forming of a relationship. John Delaney says, this connection is the mutual weight-bearing of one another's burdens and celebrating of one another's joys. Right? Like, we can tell them the good things, and they're going to rejoice with us. We can tell them the bad things. They're going to grieve with us. We can talk to them about our darkness and our struggles, and they stand by us. And when we need them, they show up for us. And by the way, I think it's also important to remember, because we often get a little self-centered, it's not a one-way street. They would do these things for us too. And then, or for us, and we would do the same for them. Like, we're made for that kind of connection with each other. Something that I read in the process of this was this, that our physical bodies, our bodies physically regulate themselves in relationship with others. It's called co-regulation, right? Co-regulation. Little definition here, the physiological process where human nervous systems influence, calm, and balance each other through social interaction, physical touch, and emotional connection. right? It's rooted in neuroscience. This mechanism allows individuals to use another person's presence, their voice, their tone, their body language, right, to regulate stress and to feel safe. The absence of relationships is going to cause trauma and physical pain and loss for us. Our relationships actually help us heal from those things. And yet, what is often our reaction when we experience trauma or pain or loss? We withdraw. We retreat. We just want to be left alone. Right? What we do is the exact opposite of what we need to do. Because when we've been hurt, and oftentimes in our life wounded by others, we feel like people aren't safe. And look, some people aren't sometimes. But the reality is that we can't be truly well all by ourselves. There is this reality show, you've probably heard of it, maybe you've watched it, but where people are brought out in the wilderness to see how long they can survive on their own. Right? The one who survives the longest wins. It's called Alone, right? Anybody watch it? Like a good handful of people, a handful or two. All right. I don't personally watch the show, but from what I've read about it afterwards in interviews or things like that, generally someone doesn't just give up because of lack of food or water or illness even, at least not on its own. Usually it's because of the extreme isolation and loneliness. Right? The psychological strain of being completely alone for weeks or months is often more challenging than the physical environment itself. And they just can't stand being alone anymore. I also read people who said, yeah, but there's some people who make it like 7 hours and come on. Like they're plants or something, I don't know. But, you know, obviously something like that is an extreme example to go months alone and to have that kind of, you know, challenge, I guess. But here's the flip side of that. If you're serious about being well and having peace, you have to get and stay connected with other people, right? Even though it's hard. Like, relationship, real friendship is hard, but we got to do it anyway. Real friendship is risky, but we've got to do it anyway. Strong friendships, friends who stick closer than a brother kind of friends, like Jonathan and David, are pretty rare. They don't have to be, though. But I would just want to suggest a reason why they often are, and it's this, that we don't take on this approach, but deep and meaningful friendships aren't found. They're built. Deep and meaningful friendships aren't found. They are built. One more time in the Own Your Past, Change Your Future book, John Delaney writes this section on how to make friendships and connections. Now, I don't know, that might strike you personally as a little weird or maybe even messed up that a psychologist needs to tell us how to make friends again. But the reality is that we sometimes need it. That says a lot about the disconnectedness we have in society. It's where we're at. Now, I've modified the list a little bit, so I'm just going to be honest with that, but I wanted to use it to help make some suggestions about how to start building friendships. Like, if you feel like you're in a place where you're lacking friendships, here are some things that can help. And so, again, partly his list, partly mine. Start building friendships. First thing, make it a priority and decide you're going to do it. Make it a priority and decide you're going to do it. One of the biggest enemies to real friendship, in my opinion, is our busyness. Right? We just don't have time for deeper connection. Maybe there is a lot going on in your life, but mostly that's a choice. Right? Maybe a better choice is to choose friendship and connection. Choose to connect deeply instead. You have to make choices that will lead to the development of relationships in your life, even if it's hard or risky. It has to be a priority if you want real health and wellness. So make it a priority. Decide you're going to do it. Second thing, get out of your house. That was his point. I'll say this too, get off your computer. That's not where the friendships are going to be made. And go to where other people are. Like, it should be self-explanatory, but if you find yourself lacking opportunities to meet new people, you have to put yourself in position for that to happen. Right? You aren't going to find new friends in your home or on your computer, right? So, go where other people are. Third thing is look for shared experiences. Like, what is it that you have in common with others? Maybe that's a great place to start because you already have some natural affinities for something, right? So pray that God would bring about a connection in those places, in those areas. The fourth thing, go first and extend hospitality. They say it's because, you know, waiting around for a friend to fall into our lap is not really a good plan. You have to initiate things, even if that's difficult or challenging for you. Go first, extend hospitality. Fifth, initiate conversations. That's similar, but and again, that's easier for some people than for others, but just noticing others, saying hello, asking a casual question, right? Those are things that can just open the door. And the sixth thing is say yes to invitations and adventures. Like, we often have 1,000 reasons why we can't do something. Maybe some of them are actually legitimate, but oftentimes they aren't really reasons. They're just excuses. Right? Say yes. Say yes to new opportunities. Say yes to invitations and adventures. Right? So some of these are just ideas and things you can even implement here in your church life. Right? We're a pretty safe place to talk with someone new. Stick around. Right? Connect after church. Talk to someone other than the same people you talk to every week. Sit by someone you don't normally sit by. I know the seat will feel different. But it's okay to do that. It's probably a good thing to do that. All right, so maybe at worship next on Sunday, or at the community meal that we have next weekend. Join a small group, right? There are ways you can do this right here within our own community. Just start. They're just things that can help you start to build friendships in your life. So if you're in that place where you're just like, I just need more friends. I need like real friendship. Those are some suggestions. But here's the thing, and this is for all of us, even if we feel like we do have friends, I mean, you know, stronger friends, the goal isn't to have surface-level friends. It's to have deep, meaningful, Christ-centered friendships. Right? And so here's kind of the last point here. Real spiritual friendships have Christ at the center. I think about the disciples, right? They had this deep, intimate friendship with Jesus. He was the thing they shared in common. He was what brought them together. Real spiritual friendships have Christ at the center, right? But they were also close with one another, not just with him, right? And to follow that up, they will also, real spiritual friendships will also involve meaningful conversation, worship, prayer, scripture, and serving, right? Think about that. You want to be close to someone? Pray together. Pray together. And not just pray for one another on your own at separate times. Pray with one another. Yeah, like out loud and everything. Right? That will bring you closer. Study God's word together. Have conversations about it. Or study it separately and have conversations about it. Spend time together in worship like we are in these mornings. There's escapes happening. Spend time in worship together. Find ways to serve others together. Right? Find ways to serve others together. Those things are going to help us grow closer because we're pursuing Christ. We're doing it together. We're becoming brothers and sisters in Him. not just in name, but literally in spirit, with the connection and strength and help of the Holy Spirit. So deep and meaningful friendships, they aren't found, right? They're built. And so as we kind of wrap up this morning, I just want to say, ask, will you take steps necessary to start building them in your life, right? If you find that you are just flat out lacking friends, would you start to make the effort to make new ones, to use some of the steps that were suggested, and just pray that God opens that door for you? And if you're the person who's like, but I already have friends, okay, will you be open to someone else who pursues your friendship? Because it might be something that you both need or grow from. And when it comes to your current friendships, would you be willing to do the work to get to a deeper level of connection? Right? I have what I would call really close friends. Very thankful for them. We would be there if any of us were in need or struggling. We could talk about the really deep things. We could. At the same time, we often don't. Right? It's really easy not to be intentional about going deep with one another. It's easier to just play card games or talk about music or sports or whatever. It's easier, and that tends to be our default. And at times we can find ourselves stuck in that place because we just aren't being intentional. Plus the hard stuff, that can be challenging and uncomfortable, right? So we've even taken some steps at times to just try to make sure we're having the deeper, meaningful conversations. Right? If you have some friends that you consider strong Christian friends, great. But I do just want to challenge us all to take a risk and make the effort to go deeper with the friends that we already have. Right? Whether it's in a small group, in one-on-one conversations, in your friendly get-togethers, whatever it is, do the hard work of building those deeper friendships. It will be worth it. It will be worth it. All right, let's pray, and we'll close our time with a song of worship. Father God, you know, sometimes when we dive into this list of practical things, it can kind of feel like a checklist. It can sometimes even just feel like a little, I don't know, roll our eyes. What are we, why do we have to talk about this? What are we, what's this all about? The fact is, you desire for us to have deep, meaningful connections with people. And the fact is that sometimes we're resistant to that. Sometimes we're scared of that. Sometimes, despite it being the very thing that we need, we just, it's hard for us to go there. And so, God, for anyone who is here this morning that is really feeling like they don't have that person or those people, who are close, that they could call in the emergency, that would come over and help move the couch. God, for those who are lacking in that way, we do pray that relationships would be formed and built in a way that brings a meaningful connection. And God, as we have that need, if there are those who have that need just for the start of some friendships, we pray that you would open the door and that you would give them the courage to take some of the steps, any of the steps that might just help make that a reality. And that, Father, for those of us who are in that place where, yeah, those friendships are there, but maybe not as deep as they could be or even should be, we pray that you would give us just courageous spirits, ones that are willing to go to that deeper place, ones that are intentional about saying, hey, we haven't talked about this in a while, but this has been on my heart for you. How are you doing here? How are you doing in your walk with Christ? How are you doing in the different areas of your life? And God, as we open up our hearts to others, would they do the same? And would you just build, would you just use that to build these friendships strong? And again, not just friendships with no meaning and purpose, but ones that are focused on you, that have you at the center, and that are pursuing you in our conversations, in prayer, in scripture, in worship, and in serving one another, but also serving together. Because it's what you long for us to be. As a community of faith, you long for us to experience all these things, but also in our world. And so we pray that you would just begin to bring this about and take us to deeper places. We pray these things in the name of the Christ.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.